Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actionable takeaways you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing veteran, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level. Okay, we're back for another episode. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Emily.
How are you?
Good. Glad to be here. Excited for another episode.
Yes. Today we are going to talk all about reporting, HubSpot reporting. And although the topic of reporting, you know, on its own might not sound the most
riveting.
riveting perhaps, I do think that reporting is one of the main reasons why people purchase a CRM. I think that having the information, or a marketing tool or whatever, I think having the information in different places is fine, but it's really the reporting that brings it all together. So I'm excited to have this conversation and talk through how to master HubSpot reporting and have actionable insights based on HubSpot reports.
Awesome. I love it. Let's get into it.
All right, let's do it. So first, I want to talk through HubSpot's reporting capabilities and just understanding them. And the first thing I'll throw out, and then I'll let you kind of, you know, take it too,
sure,
is just understanding the concept between having a built, like a pre-built report and a custom report. So within HubSpot, you can go into the reporting tool and find tons of pre-built reports that you can just go ahead and plop on a dashboard. They're like
thousands.
You know, thousands.
There's so many.
Yeah. So you can easily go and just pull some reports and start building out some dashboards for yourself. But something that HubSpot does offer, which I find very cool, and I know we do a lot for our clients, is custom reports, which just allows you to go into more detail, really orient the reports the way you want, have some difference in like the visual of the report. There's also some really cool, I geek out on this stuff, but there's some different like color coding you can do and stuff.
I mean, I really should have been the one to kick off this podcast episode because you need to be introduced properly, Emily, and your real name is Master of HubSpot Reporting. You guys, she's the guru. Yeah. She like tinkers around on all of the different HubSpot reporting and has so much fun making dashboards, more so than anyone else I've ever known. So we love
wow,
you for it. Our clients love you for it. And it is a wonderful thing. But
I mean,
the difference between the default report, it's not default reporting. It's just like pre-built reports in HubSpot and custom reporting. I kind of feel like if you're listening to this and you don't know that difference, don't try to get into custom reporting because it can get really dicey really fast. And HubSpot builds so many reports for you that you can use that unless you have something really specific that you need and or are working with an agency to help you build out more custom reports, like it can get complicated to build those unless you have Emily on your side.
I mean, one of the really cool things about reporting in general and something that I think reporting does really well is when you're combining sales and marketing or comparing like where sales is to where you want them to be. It's almost like a comparison. That's where I find the most value in a report. So an example of like a report that you might want to build if you're doing, you know, marketing efforts, you might want to have a report that shows you how many leads are being brought in from your marketing efforts. And then in that same report or maybe another report, you show how many of those have actually turned into sales, closed deals. So you're tracking the marketing efforts against the sales efforts, the CRM efforts, and then pulling an actual deal revenue to attribute back to the marketing effort. So it's really tying it all together.
And that's the benefit of HubSpot specifically too, right? And HubSpot reporting, because you might already have all these reports in whatever platform you're using for sales and whatever other platform you're using for marketing.
Yeah.
You know, something we see all the time is people really, their tech stack stack so spread out. And a benefit of HubSpot is that it all lives in one place, but the biggest benefit is reporting all coming together, right? And being able to pull from sales and marketing and even service and how it all comes together in one place.
And even if you aren't, and I agree, and it's the beauty of HubSpot, you could just buy HubSpot and nothing else. But even if you have Zoho or Salesforce or anything else for your CRM, don't feel discouraged by that. You could still get
integrate
in HubSpot and integrate the two. So you can still build these reports and dashboards showing that marketing attribution and all of the sales numbers and everything you need within HubSpot. One thing I do want to talk about is actionable dashboards. I know over the years we've created a lot of really cool dashboards. So I want to talk through some examples of dashboards that you, the listener, might want to consider building and thinking about.
Okay. I love it, Emily. That's a good thing to share. Like, share with us some of the dashboards that you've built for clients that they find most helpful and useful.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's some like creative ones that I've seen over the years. And then there's also some just like staples that I think like every business should have. I would say leadership needs to have a dashboard that shows all of the sales numbers at a glance. So you can see easily where each seller is, maybe in a bar graph. You can see how many proposals are presented across the team. And then I would say you also need to have one for a seller, right? So like I, Emily, as the seller at your company, could go to my dashboard and see exactly how many proposals I'm expected to hit and how many I've presented. It gives me like a very clear picture of my numbers. And then I would also say a marketing dashboard. So whoever is doing your marketing, running your marketing, that would be like a staple dashboard where you want to make sure that you have the numbers of, you know, emails that have gone out, how many clicks and opens and all of the things driving into a dashboard. But I've seen some really creative ones too. So in addition to having kind of those staples, I would say make sure to have some kind of a data hygiene dashboard that shows you how, you know, you could see in this dashboard every single contact in your CRM that doesn't have an owner or hasn't been followed up on in 90 days or more.
Great idea.
Yeah, like having a data hygiene place to look.
Okay. I will say, should I give away one of our secrets of success? If you guys are listening to this, we'll give you a secret of success. I think that a mistake people make when they start to build dashboards is say, oh, that's a cool report. I'll put that on my dashboard. Ooh, that one looks nice. I'll put that on my dashboard. Yeah, I think I want to know this. I'll put that on my dashboard. And they look at the reports and they drag them to their dashboards. The way that we do it, here's the secret for you, that the way that we think works better. The way that Lead G2 does this is we say, what questions do you want answered and want to know every day or every week? What questions do you have? Who on my sales team has presented the most proposals this week? Who on my sales team has XYZ? How many proposals have been presented? How many meetings have been had this week? Where are we with, you know, asking questions, whether they're related directly to your sales team, related to marketing, related to anything that you want. What questions do you want answered? And then work backwards. Okay. What report would show that? And that's where Emily starts geeking out because she like builds the reports to answer very specific questions. Or there are options where HubSpot's already built them and you can realize this has been answered in this report. So working backwards for what you want to see and questions. Every report should answer a question. What question do you want to know? There is a report for that. And then choose what goes on your dashboard that you get emailed every week or log in and look at. So that's kind of our secret for success with reporting, I would say.
Yeah.
Having Emily Hartzell be the one to build reports.
Well, it's funny you said that. So I remember we had a partner development manager back at HubSpot many, many years ago. And I remember she was teaching us about building reports and just like all the cool new report builder stuff happening with HubSpot. This was back when the reports weren't as cool and they were becoming kind of cool. I remember we were talking about building dashboards and building reports and all the reports. And I remember her specifically saying, you should not have a single report on a dashboard unless you can tell me explicitly what it's providing you that you couldn't get somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So like the idea of a report or inside of a dashboard should be to provide you valuable insight that you can't just go see on a deal or you can't just go see in the email settings.
Right.
Like it's going to give you a next layer. So how many deals across my whole deal pipeline have done this, this, and this, or yeah, like really like layering on the information to provide truly actionable reports that you can look at it and say, okay, based on this report, we need to now do this because we need to follow up on with this person, or we need to move this deal in the pipeline, or whatever it might be. Another dashboard that I have seen creative that people have made that I've helped a lot of companies build is a one-on-one dashboard. So when you and when a manager and a seller sit down to have a one-on-one, a dashboard that they can pull up for that and seller walk through. And walk through that on their one-on-one.
Like that's their agenda of their one-on-one is the reports on that dashboard. Okay. What do you want to talk about in your one-on-one? Let's build a dashboard with the reports that show each of those things and that be the agenda for our meeting.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And you can even, HubSpot does this cool thing called quick filters. So you can actually build a one-on-one dashboard that's just generic, and then you can quick filter to the rep you're going to be talking to, which is also kind of cool. So you could just have one
dashboard as a leader and then filter for each seller.
That yeah. So just before you meet with them, you just quick filter, put the rep's name, and then you have your conversation with them. And the next one-on-one, you just move that quick filter. So you only have one dashboard. But it allows you to have that same conversation and the consistency over time too.
And then it can also allow for your conversations to help with some things we've talked about in other podcast episodes, which is accountability and holding people accountable for putting the right data in, because data in is data out. So if you're having a one-on-one with somebody and their information's all wrong, then they haven't been putting in the information to be able to report on it, right? Like those reports don't mean anything if people do not put in the information to the CRM, to the deals pipeline.
Yep. You know. Absolutely right. Yeah. Imagine having a one-on-one, pulling up a report inside of a dashboard that shows specifically how long something has been in a certain stage, and being able to have a conversation as a manager talking to a seller saying, you know, this proposal was presented 3 weeks ago. What can I do to help you move this along?
Right.
How can we work together? What could I provide you? Do you want me to, you know, sit in on your next meeting or whatever? And just allowing the reports to be the conversation.
Right.
Which, you know, kind of goes along with like measuring sales performance, you know, forecasting. You can build reporting dashboards that show you where your sellers are each month to their goal. You could actually have a goal line. So you could see where someone is to their goal, and whether that goal is a dollar amount or a goal of how many calls or how many activities someone needs to be making. You could have almost like a, I love that one report that looks like a gas tank and it starts at empty and you can see all the way up. So you could have a daily dashboard that they are required to move the needle all the way to 100% in order to be done with their day, things like that.
And I feel like in general, this can be overwhelming for people. How do I set up the right things? What do I need? And I, you know, my best advice would be to dive in and set it up the way that you need it. And of course, you can always be tweaking this and adding to it and refining it. But if that's not your thing, you also don't have to do that. If you have a partner that helps you set it up, like Allegi2, or you just spend the time to set it up on your own, it can continue to serve you over and over and over again without need, you know, it doesn't require tweaking. So I feel like that's important to note too. It's really a one-time have to set up what you're trying to look at and what you need.
Yeah. And also I want to talk to you about just data accuracy. I actually had a call with a client a couple of weeks ago. It was very funny. They were convinced that their reports were broken. They were like, our reporting dashboard is broken. So we like walked through it. We talked through, we looked through all the reports. And I was like, it's not broken. Your sellers just aren't putting in deals. And so that's the key is HubSpot is not a mind reader. It doesn't know what your sales activity looks like unless you tell it. So these reports are only going to be as good as the information that you're actually putting into it, right? So if you build a report that shows how many proposals are presented or how many activities are being, you know, done, and your sellers are not tracking their proposals inside of HubSpot, or they're not, you know, they don't have the email integration set up, so their emails aren't tracking with HubSpot or whatever, your reports are going to be no good. So that's a key thing to think about.
And marketing doesn't have as much of that problem because a lot of the marketing reports that you can see in HubSpot are how many people are opening marketing emails, how many people are clicking on them, how many people are visiting the website after opening an email. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are just measured without necessarily manual input of information. So it's, you know, we're really focusing on the sales side, but there's a lot of marketing and service that can also be measured in HubSpot's reporting and on dashboards that don't necessarily require that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I want to talk about a couple of just like real world success stories or things that we've experienced with reporting in terms of, yeah, just like our clients seeing success with reports. Mm-hmm. I will share one that comes to mind first. I have for a couple of my clients, a KPI dashboard that just shows the monthly KPIs that I track for both marketing and sales. Lead G2 does a lot of inbound marketing, and to prove our worth, I have these KPI dashboards that show how many leads were generated and then how we've helped sales go through the pipeline and actually close these deals. So I've created a KPI dashboard that shows all of that information, and we've actually been able to uncover a lot of missed deals in the past before I'd even made this dashboard. Because, you know, if you're doing everything very manually, you may miss something. Like, let's say a lead gets passed to a seller and then a deal gets opened, but that deal closes. It like goes to close last. It didn't work. But then a year later, you continue marketing to them and then this deal comes back into the pipeline. Well, now it's not like that immediate connection to the original lead. But when creating this type of KPI dashboard that pulls in all leads ever and every deal ever associated to them, we've been able to uncover a lot of leads that were actually come through inbound and that have now turned into closed revenue. So kind of for the marketing folks out there, make sure to have that type of a dashboard that's tracking all closed deals over time. Because just because they close one deal doesn't mean they won't get a renewal or upsell or whatever.
Right. That's a good example. I'm trying to go to real. I use KPI dashboards for my clients too. It's really for me. I mean, it is for them, but for me to report to them because it's so much easier that the information is just there.
Yeah.
I would say just trying to think about like quick wins for reporting that people could take away today and take action on, I would say would be to try and make a dashboard. I'd imagine if you're listening to this, you have reports in HubSpot that you look at or reports in general that you regularly look at. And I think that building a dashboard can be kind of intimidating, but just take the three reports you look at the most and put them in one place, drag and drop them onto a dashboard where you can see all three in one place. And then I guess also just challenge you to think of a question that you want answered and then what report can help you build that. And if you are having trouble figuring that out, send us an email. I'd love to help anybody with figuring out what report could I build to answer this question in HubSpot. So those would be my like takeaways for today that people could take in action.
I love it. Those are great actions. Should we do some questions?
Let's do some questions.
Got a couple good ones.
Okay. You want me to kick us off? You want me to read it?
Go for it.
Okay. So here's the question. Hey there, we struggle to generate leads outside of our existing networks. I work for a PEO company. So what are some creative ways PEOs can attract new business?
There's so many different things that I could share. I'll share one and then Marianne, maybe you share one too.
Sure.
So specifically with PEOs, in my experience, events have been very popular and creative. So going to an event is not just like showing up and leaving is not going to generate leads for you. But if you have a clear strategy for promotion before the event, what you're going to hand out and do during the event, and then after the event is over, your follow-up strategy, it can be really beneficial for generating leads and closing business.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes, our event marketing plan, we use a lot with PEOs because there's so many great conferences out there and ways to get leads. And we know PEO in specific is very relationship driven and trust driven. So building that in person is a great step to do with events.
Yep.
Creative ways. I mean, I think that for PEOs specifically, it's just all about educating. People don't know what a PEO is. And so dumbing down sounds harsh, but
yeah,
you know, dumbing down the what a PEO is and really educating around it in different ways. Our recommendation is to do that through content. I think podcast is a great way to do that because it's very relationship oriented, like building that trust again and humanizing the what a PEO is could really help. So thinking of dumbing down PEOs and doing it in a way that's really relational through content.
Yeah. Love that. Great advice. And if you have more questions, reach out to us, but
yeah. Hire us.
Hire us.
Okay. The next question, we're expanding into a new industry and we don't have established credibility. How can we build trust quickly with potential B2B buyers?
Okay. So expanding into a new industry, don't have established credibility at this point. I would say the biggest thing I would do is go ahead and start subscribing to newsletters in this industry. Think about maybe some, you know, thought leaders in the industry that you're expanding into and start following them on social media. Maybe even see if you can get some just like meetings with thought leaders in the industry and just pick their brain on pain points and just different. I would say, so when I'm reading the question, if you're expanding into a new industry and you have no established credibility yet, I would make my first priority to become the expert in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's
become a thought leader. Become a thought leader. Make yourself a thought leader and not just your brand.
Yeah. Yeah, because building trust with a new industry where you have no case studies, you have no like previous success, like necessarily that you can like share. There's no credibility yet. Becoming the expert and really understanding what you're selling and how what you're selling is directly impacting the industry. You'll be able to, I think, get a little bit further and build trust faster because they can sense that you know what you're talking about, like knowing the lingo, speaking their language, things like that.
Also, I wonder, you know, without the specifics, it's hard to say, but I wonder if you could translate some of your past successes to that industry. Like, is there a way to translate that? Can you share with this new industry you're expanding to other successes and explain how it translates? I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
We would want more detail on this.
I know. I need more detail to like totally answer the question, but like, I think that helps maybe to give some starting. Okay, cool. Well, this has been fun. Glad to talk about reporting and dashboards with everyone. Hopefully it wasn't, it was more exciting than you even anticipated it would be. Follow us on anywhere that you listen to your podcasts, connect with us on LinkedIn. We'll have all of the links after this in the show notes. And it's been great chatting with you, Marianne.
As always. See you next time, Emily.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.